Everybody,
oh, you're all looking good this morning. And this is like the biggest Sunday school class I've ever had. This is good. And I wonder too. I was thinking, like, when I first I'll just share how I'm speaking this morning. Like, it was, I guess, a month and a half ago, September 15th and 16th. I went to a seminar, how to hear God's voice in Hanover. And the fellow's name is Dr. Mark Verkler, and he has the ministry, Communion with God Ministries. And he's been doing this seminar all over the world. This is his most popular seminar, How to Hear God's Voice. And so I had the opportunity to go, and I was really curious what he had to say. And because I think it's really important to, if we're going to have that relationship with Jesus, that relationship with God, I think it's pretty important to know what his voice sounds like, so I can... had this two-way conversation with God, and so I was really interested in what he had to say. And it was a all-day Friday night and all-day Saturday. It was pretty, there's a lot of information that is pretty full-on, and so there's no way I can cover all that right now, but I just wanted to basically introduce, like, kind of like what he was talking about. And I remember the day after the seminar, I came. We had, like, the service outside. Outside there was, like, the power outage, I guess, going on in here. And I was really excited because I knew God, he did really speak to me through that whole weekend. And I was really excited. And I remember the praise time, like, the prayer reports and praise requests. I remember I said, yeah, I just went to the seminar and I'd love to sit down with all of you and tell you all about it. And Ernest said, oh, I think you might get that chance. And I never thought it'd be like this at all, but so I guess that's to be careful what you ask for. But no, I'm excited. So I've known him for about a month now that I was going to be speaking, and just kind of this great sense came upon me that, wow, like, I don't want this to be me speaking at all. I want this, God, I want to hear your voice and then communicate what you want to say, because... if it's just me talking, it'll be a waste of time. So I guess that's my prayer for you guys today, is that you will, that God will just flow through me, and it'll be him speaking. So I guess, yeah, in what Bonnie was reading a little earlier, from Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Oh, I was going to say too, does anyone have their Bibles here today? They can raise them up so I can see them. Awesome. That's good, because actually I want to kind of do this. I don't want it to be just me speaking. I want to have, like, an interaction with you guys. And there's going to be times where I want maybe just a few verses read. And so if we have, like, that microphone that I can go around it, I'll just ask for some verses, and whoever can find them, they can read them out. That's good. So I'll just read that Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 again. He says, I will climb up into my watchtower now, wait to see what the Lord will say to me and how he will answer my complaint. Then the Lord said to me, write my answer in large, clear letters on a tablet so that a runner can read it and tell everyone else. And so basically, if I was to summarize the whole seminar, everything, in this is basically summarizing it. There's, like, four keys to hearing God's voice, and these four keys are found in these two verses. And so, all right. Just got to set up here a little bit. So in the first key comes from, I guess, the first part of the first verse. I will climb up into my watchtower. That's from the New Living Translation. In the New American Standard Version, it says, I will stand at my guard post. And so the first key here, Habakkuk. Habakkuk was a prophet. He lived about 500 years before Christ. And he was a prophet. He recognized God's voice. And so I think it's pretty important too. If ever we want to know something that we don't know, it's good to go to the Bible and see, like, someone like Habakkuk, someone who did recognize God's voice, And then he, and it's good to like, yeah, how did he recognize his voice? What did it sound like for him? And so this is just, I guess, the lessons in Habakkuk's life that we can learn how to recognize God's voice. And so the first thing Habakkuk does says, I will stand at my guard post. Basically, he's stillness is the first key. He's being still. And basically, I was just writing, and this is kind of like what God told me, I guess, to tell you guys. He said, he was first telling, this is what he told me. He said, come to me like a little boy who runs into his father's arms and is content to just spend alone, time alone with his father. And so when I remember when I was a little boy, I would just love to, when my dad came home from work, just love just to run into his arms and just for hours, just to let him hold me. I didn't even have to say a word, just that he was just holding me. So I was being still. And also God was telling me, I am in the stillness. Find a secret, quiet place where it is just you and me, no distractions. If you need to, unplug the telephone. And then I was reminded of a song. I'm not sure what the title of the song is, but the song goes like, in the secret, in the quiet place, in the stillness, you are there. And if someone could look up Psalm 46, verse 10. And then whoever has it, they can just raise their hand and Gary will get.
Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth.
So it's good. So God's telling us it's good if we're being still. And to be still in his to be still and know that he is God. And that's one thing for myself, to quiet myself in his presence. That's one thing I really haven't been doing lately. Even since I went to this seminar, I was hearing to be still and know that he is God. But I found, so even the last couple months, I was just so go. And I burnt myself out. I would just meet more new people in Wingham, and I'd think, oh, I got to spend time with these people. Or some people would get excited about Jesus, and I think, oh, I have to be with them so I can show them and help disciple them. And it was, I thought, this is so overwhelming, but I still thought I could do it. So probably for about a month, 2 months, I was only getting 6 hours sleep at the most every night. And, well, some for me, I need at least 8 hours, good 8 hours to function properly. So it just, after about a couple months of this, I just finally collapsed. And I remember it was a couple weeks ago, it was a Friday night, and there was a youth group going on here, and I so wanted to be here, but I was just so tired, and so I was sick for 3 weeks, and I was just, I just went to bed at like 8 o'clock, and I remember just like lying in bed, just thinking, not feeling good at all. And God was just basically speaking very quietly to me. He's like, Matt, how do you feel right now? And I'm like, not very good. I know how I feel. He just was reminding me. He's like, you can't go anywhere right now. And I knew that. I couldn't. I was collapsed on my bed at home. And he said, even though you can't go to the youth group tonight, I am there. And he's just like, wow, that's awesome. And so he's been reminding me that he wants me to be still, that I don't always have to go and be involved in everyone's lives, that God is in control. And that was awesome. That's one lesson that I'm learning right now, just to be still. And also, that God is he's very jealous of our time too. He loves it when we just can take time to make time for him. And so being still for me, I have to have sometimes no distractions. So I even tried this week, I just unplugged the phone and it's hard for me to do that because I like to be in Wingham or here or there or everywhere else. But I just be still before God and it's okay, God, I know you want me to do this. So and then God was showing me about different places in the Bible too, or other people in the Bible who were still before God. Another one, like young David when he was a shepherd boy. As a shepherd, young David would have many opportunities to be still before God while caring for the sheep. And I thought, yeah, he would probably have, there was probably times, there were probably for weeks he wouldn't see his brothers or his father Jesse, and he would just, he would have that opportunity to really still himself. And we see, like, through the whole, like, all the Psalms that he wrote, and that he just, he was able to be still before God, and God could speak to him. And yeah, someone could look up Psalm 37, verse 7.
Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes.
So this is David. Probably while he's caring for his sheep, he's recognizing it's good to be still in the Lord's presence. And also I look at Jesus' life. I look at Jesus often took times to be still. Before he started his ministry, he spent 40 days in the wilderness alone with God so he could get to know his Father more before starting out in his ministry. Like 40 days, I thought, wow, 40 days totally away from everybody? That'd be pretty intense, pretty full on. And then after the 40 days, once he started his ministry, he recognized that he needed to take time to be alone with God. And throughout his ministry, he did take time to be alone with his Heavenly Father. Early in the morning, he would maybe sometimes go out to pray. Even in the last 12 hours of his life, he came before God, went to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. He asked, his disciples came with him to pray, but then he went alone. He took time to be alone. So he stilled himself with God. That's the first key. I will stand at my guard post to be still. And then the second key is from, I will climb up into my watchtower now, and then the second key, I will wait to see. So the second key is vision. And then God is asking us, what are my eyes focusing on? The present physical things of this earth, like bills to pay, or I don't know, you name it. You could have all kinds of things going on in your life right now. You could be in the middle of a storm, not physically, but like you might feel like, oh, there's just so much going on in my life right now. And so are my eyes focusing on that, the physical, what's going on, or are we looking to Jesus? And then another song that I thought of, the song, I love this song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, look it for into his wonderful face, and then the things on earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And no matter what circumstance we're going through, when we have our eyes focused on Jesus, then everything on this earth will grow strangely dim. And so I felt God speaking, this is what God spoke to me to. My children, see now my glory and grace. Keep your eyes now focused here. For abiding in my glory and grace removes all fear, all doubt, and you will be filled with my joy and peace. And I guess someone... Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Yeah, Hebrews chapter 12, 1 and 2.
Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Ooh, so yeah, how do we run this race for Christ when we have our eyes fixed on him? And a couple more. Someone can look up Numbers chapter 12, verse 6. And another one, and someone else can look up Acts chapter 2, verse 17. So if someone has the Numbers, chapter 12.
Chapter 12, Numbers?
Yeah, Numbers chapter 12, verse 6.
He said, listen to my words. When a prophet of the Lord is among you, I reveal myself to him in visions. I speak to him in dreams.
Yeah, so that's one thing that God's been teaching me, that when I am still and I have his eyes focused on him, my vision focused on him, he will then give me visions and dreams. And even before this seminar that I went to, I have been getting visions and dreams, and I never really knew. It wasn't every so often. For example, basically why I guess I'm here today is through God gave me a vision in early August. I was really questioning the direction of my life, where if I should be live in Waterloo or live in the Wingham area, Wingham community, and I was just working at work, just putting kitchen cupboards together, and I just got this spontaneous vision of a family and young people in Wingham, and I just thought, wow, what does this all mean? And then I felt God was saying, if you go to Waterloo now, then you'll be kind of cutting ties with these people. And so I knew beyond a shadow of doubt that I need to stay in Wingham, because God's got a purpose in this. And actually this week, on this Wednesday, November 1st, I will be moving back into Wingham. And where I'm moving to, I'm finding out now, the people I had these visions about, they all live within a block of where I'm moving to. So I just thought, wow, that's so cool, how God spoke to me back in August about a few families and young people that he wants me to continue building relationships with, and they all live within a block of where I'm moving to. So, yeah, I just thought that was pretty cool confirmation. And, and then another thing I thought, like Habakkuk here, these two verses in chapter 2, all through chapter 1, he's basically praying to God, he's bringing his complaints before God. Basically, Babylon, at that time, 500 years before Christ, Babylon was, they were becoming the world power at that time, and Habakkuk, but they were, how they were becoming the world power really disturbed Habakkuk, and they were taking over by violence, and just, he just saw so much evil throughout the world. And Habakkuk wasn't afraid to ask God the tough questions. He was asking, basically, he's listing off in chapter 1 all these complaints before God. Like, God, why is this happening? Why do I see that evil is winning? Why? When will you come to your people? Are you going to come to your people? And then when he comes up to chapter 2, he realizes, he's like, okay. He stopped. He's like, okay, I've done enough talking. Now, I want to hear you talk. So when he climbs up into his watchtower, and for those of you who might not know what a watchtower is, like a city in those days, that they have high walls, and a watchtower would be even a little bit higher, and a place, a watchtower, with someone that could just stand and watch to see if there was anyone approaching the city, whether it be like an enemy or someone delivering a message. So I see when he did When Habakkuk is saying, I will climb into my watchtower now, he might not actually have been in a physical watchtower, but just that he, in a watchtower, you basically are forced to be still. There's not much you can do. You're just basically standing there. You can't really do a lot other than that. And then he's waiting to see. And then so he's, when he, in the watchtower, he's waiting to see, so he's looking. He's looking. And then what the Lord, okay. What was I going to say? So he's waiting to see. Oh, okay, so then he was waiting to see. He wanted to hear God's voice, so he's waiting to see. Or he's watching to see. And I thought, why would he be watching to see to hear God's voice? Why wouldn't he be listening to hear? Like, don't we use our ears to listen? And that's something I, even as a young child growing up, I grew up in a Christian home, and I grew up my family. I could see that God was more than just a Sunday morning God, or I knew like he was real in their life every day. And they told me, even from as a young child, of having a relationship with Jesus. And I gave my life to the Lord when I was 12 years old, and I invited him to my heart. And for the first time when I was 12 years old, I knew, I felt God's presence. I felt him in my life. And I knew he was real. I knew he was so real, but yet I didn't really know what it was to hear his voice. I didn't know what his voice sounded like yet. And I would hear stories about different people, like Moses, he heard God's voice audibly. And another person like Saul, who was on the road to Damascus, and he was blinded, and he said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And so I was waiting for that kind of an experience, for God to say, hello, Matt, this is God. But it never came, and it hasn't come yet. And but that's okay. I realize, like, yes, God. But if God ever does decide to speak to me like that, I'm going to welcome it. That'd be pretty awesome. So growing up, I think from when I was 12 years old, even till about just a couple of years ago or last year, I didn't really know what it was to have that relationship. I mean, I would pray to Jesus. I would pray to God. But I didn't really know what it was like to have him talk back to me. And because I was waiting, I was listening, I was trying to listen with my ears for a voice, this voice. And but then I hear in Habakkuk, he's not saying, I will listen to hear. He says, I will watch and see what you say to me. And so then I realize it's through... I realize it's true that God also talks to us through many, like intimately, he will talk to us through many different ways other than just the audible voice. And I guess that brings to the next verse. Oh yeah, someone had that Acts chapter 2, verse 17.
Your old man will dream dreams.
Awesome. So he says, your young men will see visions and your old men dream dreams. And so I've had that experience of seeing visions. God, like, just working, building kitchen cabinets, gave me a vision of just people and Wingham. And just actually a couple of weeks ago, I went up to the high school in Wingham and did a prayer walk around the high school at Medill with some friends. And while we're doing this prayer walk, God just gave me so many visions for the school and for the young people and for not just the young people, but I realized he was saying it's more than just the young people that go to the students. It's the teachers, it's the volunteers, it's the volunteers, it's the parents, it's the Avon-Maitland District School Board. There's so much more. And so he was just really opening my eyes and giving me visions how his dream for that school and he was showing me that Effie Medill, the school, it's the highest point in Wingham Lake, and everything basically runs downhill from there. And he was showing me how, like, what do we do with a light? And so, like, this little light of mine. You know, do we hide it under a bush? No, we want to put that light up on a stand for everyone to see. And God was showing me that right now, Effie Medill is on a stand. Everyone can see. There are all kinds of reporters that come for, like, the sports teams or just anything that's going on within the school. People want to know what's going on in the young people's lives. And so right now they are on a stand for the community to see. And then basically God was showing me his dreams for the school and his visions, how he wants to just, it's pretty cool. Basically one dream, okay, I'll share one vision that I got. One vision was there's the Victoria Street that leads up to the school, up to those doors. And as I was walking around, I just saw the doors, and all of a sudden I saw a flood come and just burst through the doors like a flood of water. And I saw this flood running down Victoria Street and hitting the main street, Josephine, and then flooding down the main street of Wingham. And God was saying that he wants to raise up a young people, the students in Wingham, that go to that school, how when basically the flood, when it burst through the doors, it was like the end of the day, just like we've been hearing bells ringing here today. Just like when the bell ends for the end of school, he wants the students come, and they might not know God when they come to the school, but through interaction with different young people who are on fire for Jesus, and just different people praying for them, that they will come to know him. And then when there's like an army of young people who are really on fire for him, that when the school, when that bell ends, that when the end of the school is, that they'll just be so eager to get out into the community, just like a flood. They'll burst through the doors and head down the street and then into the community. And I thought, like a flood of water too, is basically, if there's like a big flood, it's hard to keep it from coming into your house. Usually our basements will flood a little bit. And I was thinking, yeah, it's like that flood that as they're going down, leaving the school, and going, reaching out into the community, people will just see something in these students as they're going down, and it will not only run down the street, but into the homes that in Wingham. And it was a pretty cool vision, and I had a few more like that, just how God was showing me how he's raising up young people right now. And so he was just saying, and see, this is something when I was in high school for 2 years, in 99 and 2000, I graduated from Medill in 2000. I never, not once, did I even mention the name of Jesus to anybody when I was there. And I kind of felt like, I felt I was kind of letting God down. And sometimes we do, when we do recognize God's voice, he's trying to tell us to maybe speak to someone or tell this person about me, and we don't do it. We can feel guilt and we let people down, but God was saying, like, even though now I'm not a part of the high school, he's like, you can have a part in praying for the students that go there. And so that was a pretty awesome time doing that prayer walk. So that was just one way, how one vision that God gave me, for one, I guess, example of a vision he gave me. And and so another way now when I read the Bible, I guess specifically, I guess the Gospels too, it kind of takes on new life. If I read any of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, and when I read the Gospels, I can visualize myself there with the disciples walking and talking with Jesus. And it's kind of like, I guess I'll ask you guys the question. Can you visualize maybe your car outside right now? Or can you visualize the sun outside? The sun's not really shining right now. But can you visualize like a warm summer day? Or can you visualize a beautiful garden that you have, if you have one? And that's kind of the same way. If we can visualize like our car outside, we can visualize, take that same, for me it's kind of like a screen in my head, kind of like a theater screen. And when I read the Gospels now, when I read about Jesus and his life, I can actually visualize myself right there with him. And it's just, oh, it's pretty cool. And then I guess one more example how I can, how God has given me vision. I can see now more the pain and the hurt in someone's life if they don't know Jesus, but I really don't see them. Like physically, if someone doesn't know Jesus, they might look like their head might be down, or just like there's no joy in their eyes, or you just may not be able to see the joy within them. But I really don't. But God, I think it's really cool. Even a couple of years ago, I started to see young people in a different way, where I really don't see them the way they are without God. The Lord has, he gives me a vision of the person. Gives me a vision of the person with him in their life. So I can see, like for example, my brother Andrew just gave his life to the Lord in May, and now he's so full of the joy of the Lord. And before, for the last couple of years, he never had that joy, but I could still see it. I could still see who he could be with Christ in his life, and now I do see that physically as well, so it's pretty cool. And I think this can only happen when our eyes are fixed on Jesus. So that's the key number two. Key number three. Okay, so I will climb into my watchtower now and see what the Lord will say to me. So key number three is what he will speak to me. So spontaneity is the third key. God's voice often comes as spontaneous thoughts. Have you ever been driving in your car, or walking your dog, or peeling potatoes, and spontaneously think of someone to pray for? Has that ever happened? And I think, like, where did these thoughts come from? Like, and I guess someone can look up John chapter 7, 37 to 39.
John chapter 7, verses 37 to 39. On the last and the greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified.
Mm-hmm. And so I felt God was saying to me, like, through that, when we have our eyes fixed on Jesus, these spontaneous thoughts, like the spontaneous thoughts of someone to pray for, these spontaneous thoughts will flow like living water, like I said, from the Holy Spirit. So when we do have our eyes fixed on Jesus, it's like the Holy, just like this, like living water, like water in a river, it just flows and it doesn't stop. And that's just like the same, these spontaneous thoughts, God will just keep giving us these spontaneous thoughts, and they will just flow, and they won't be our own thoughts. So these thoughts, impressions, dreams, and visions are not our own, but God speaking directly into our lives. So I guess basically when we are still and we have our eyes fixed on Jesus, basically to tune to spontaneity, be ready. Be ready for the Holy Spirit to move. And then and he will give us, he'll tell us, he'll start speaking to us. And I started, I guess, experiencing this at work. Shortly after the seminar, I was really, okay, God, yeah, I want you to... I guess before, a couple of years ago when I started working installing building kitchen cupboards, sometimes it can get a little bit repetitive, and some people might say, oh man, that'd be boring, just putting cabinets together. But now it's kind of nice that it's a little bit repetitive, and I don't really have to think too much, and so I can allow... I feel when I'm at work I can be still, and I can have my eyes fixed on Jesus, and then he does now nearly all the time just give me all kinds of people will just drop into my mind to pray for, or he'll just tell me ideas that I can do after work. You should go and visit this person, or go say hi to this person, so when we do hear God's voice like that, these thoughts, they require action. So when we hear God's voice, action is required. Trust Him by stepping out in faith. And I had an example of this at work, where I was just saying, "Okay, God, yeah, today I just want to live for You. I want to just hear Your voice. Just tell me what You want to do." And there's a fella coming to pick up our kitchen, and he comes about once a month, and he's probably in his 30s, He's a fairly active guy, fairly fit guy, but this time it was a little different. He had someone else helping him, and then I saw him walking into our shop with a little bit of a limp, and I thought, oh, that's kind of weird. He's never limped before, and I felt God speaking to me, Matt, go pray for him. And I thought, what now? No, he's busy loading a kitchen. I don't want to disturb him. No, he's probably not even heard. He might be faking it. I just have all these thoughts running through my head. But the thought got stronger and stronger and stronger. Matt, you need to go and just talk to him. Just step out in faith. Just trust me. Just go talk to him. I'd like you to pray for him. And it got so strong, like I couldn't even do my work anymore. I was just so like, ah. And I waited until they were finally loaded their kitchen. Okay, I just thought, I knew God was really calling me to go just talk to this man. And if I knew if I didn't do it, I just felt, if I don't do this, oh, I'll just feel terrible the rest of the day. So I finally just, okay, I'll go. And so I went, and I just said, hey, I noticed you have a limp. And then he's like, and then he started to tell me how he has progressed arthritis. And so he's only maybe 30 years old now, but he has like a 60-year-old body. And he just found out 4 months ago that his hip just went out, and he has two discs in his back that are pretty messed up. And he just looked at me like, this is how I'm going to live the rest of my life. He has no hope to ever be healthy again. And my heart just went out to him, and I just said, can I pray for you? And his face just lightened up. He says, oh, yeah, thanks, brother. And he shook my hand, but then he just left, because like they were all done loading their kitchens, and they needed to go. And I was like, oh no, wait, right now I'd like to pray for you, but I think I didn't take action when I first heard his voice. And so where if before, if I had just gone when I first heard God say just go talk to him, if I did that, then I probably would have had a chance to pray for him right there. But even still, I never had a chance to pray for him then, but I do know that, like, he knows that I'm praying for him, even though I never got to do it with him right there. But so I still praise God for that, his eyes kind of sparkled, like, oh, wow, are you going to pray for me? So, yeah. So we need to take action when we hear God speaking to us. And then the fourth key, the last key, then the Lord said to me, write my answer in large, clear letters on a tablet so that a runner can read it and tell everyone else. So Habakkuk brought his complaints before God and said, God, where are you in all this mess? Why do I see evil going on all around me? But then he did. He's like, okay, I'm going to still myself. I'm going to watch for what you have to say to me. And then God said, get ready. get ready, get some tablets, get ready, write this down, because I'm going to give you a vision now. And it was through a vision that God, all the whole Habakkuk chapter 2 is God's vision, how he answers Habakkuk. And so that's pretty cool. So the fourth key is journaling, or write out the flow of thoughts and visions within you. And then this becomes two-way journaling. And journaling, like, I don't know, do you have anybody here journalers? Yeah? No guys took the hand? Now, there's two, three journalers. And for me, I'm not a journaler at all. This is very hard for me to do. Maybe every once in a while something extraordinary happens in my life, or something extraordinary happens to someone else. So, wow, I got to write this down. And also, I'm not the fastest writer or typer, so I feel, man, this is just going to take so long. I could be doing something else. I could be playing basketball or spending time with another person. And so I'm not used to journaling. This whole concept of journaling just scares me a little bit. And I remember at the seminar, the Friday night we were there, we were learning these four keys, how to hear his voice, and then he said, all right, I'm going to give you an opportunity now to journal, to write your thoughts. Basically, you talk to God, just write out your thoughts, and basically is a love letter to God. And so he's like, just write a love letter to God. And so I was just writing, just like, thanking Jesus for all kinds of stuff, for you guys, for the community in Wingham, for how he came and he saved my life, for all kinds of stuff. And then all of a sudden I did start to hear him speaking back to me, these thoughts, and it was pretty awesome. It was pretty overwhelming a little bit, and I just thought, wow, I never thought that you could actually have a two-way conversation with God through journaling. I always thought of journaling as just something I write down, events that have already happened, but never thinking that God wants to speak to me right now in the present and give me direction and for my life. That was pretty... So we did a few journal exercises through that weekend, and it was pretty awesome. But actually, after the seminar, I didn't start journaling. I was just even this fear kind of overcame me. That I thought, if I start writing to God, a fear came that, what if God doesn't speak back to me? What if I don't hear any thoughts or hear his voice? And so I just kind of avoided the journaling, because I was already every day getting these thoughts at work, and I knew God was speaking to me every day, but I just thought, oh, I don't really need to, that's not huge, that's not a big thing for me. And also, I like to be so go, go, go. I don't like to take that time to spend time with God. I just think it would be too much time. But it was just this past week on Wednesday night. I knew the whole day God was telling me, Matt, when you go home, I just want you to stay home. I want you to just write to me, just journal to me. I want to talk to you too. And I thought, okay. But at first I was even kind of avoiding it, I actually fell asleep, because I was just avoiding the whole journaling thing. But one thing, actually, I'd like to read you guys the journal that I wrote on Wednesday, so you kind of know what I'm talking about, this whole journaling thing. So I'll just read you my journal that I wrote this past Wednesday to God. And so this is what I wrote to God. I said, Hi God, it's Matthew here at the Garland Courtney residence. It's Wednesday night, and I've just come home from work, and I'm not sure how long ago, as I looked, because I had fallen asleep on my couch. And so when I woke up, there wasn't a clock in the room, so I didn't know what time it was when I woke up. But as I look outside the living room patio door, I see the faintest glimmer of light in the sky. So night is readily upon us. All day at work, and even right now, I can't stop thinking about you, God. It's a very beautiful thing to be in your presence. One of many thoughts come to mind while driving home from work to here. Just approaching Molesworth, I thought of the purpose you call my life to. I'm on planet Earth right now, and all the days of my life to bring you glory by simply loving you with all my mind, heart, soul, strength, and to love my neighbor as myself. I thank you so much, Jesus, that relationship with the Father has been restored through you. I now know you want me to hand over every ounce of my life over to you, to trust you for every single detail of my life. I know too, by total surrender to you, I am born again. And I do feel born again, but more than just a feeling, I can hear your beautiful voice calling to spend time alone with you. This has been so hard for me to do in the past, and up until even tonight, to just drop everything and be still, to sit and focus on your glorious Son, Jesus. And then I got a little excited. I was like, whoa, Jesus! I was writing that down. The name above all of the names. Why is this so hard for me to be still, to come and drink from your well? There are so many distractions vying to rob me from running away with you, God. Lord, I've heard your call, and now I answer. Take me to that place where I am drenched in your presence. I ask now, Lord, that I may tune in fully to you for what you want to speak to me. I'm so desperate for you, Jesus, Father, God, and Holy Spirit. You're the best thing that has ever happened or will ever happen in my life. I feel like I am just now starting out on this journey of knowing you personally, Jesus. Thank you for being so patient with me these first 25 years of my existence. I feel now I've done enough talking, and I know there is so much you want to share with me, so I can love you, Lord, and love my neighbor as you would want me to. Jesus, I will be still and watch. Jesus, I will be still and watch to see what you say to me. And now this is God speaking to me. This is what I desire, Matthew, to spend this time together, just you and me. You have come to me with childlike faith, and I gladly take your hand. I long to lead you to places you have not seen. And then I got this vision. I see me running through a grassy field with Jesus. We run up together a slight slope. I am in awe and wonder of my Jesus and my surroundings. I was running side by side with Jesus, but when I couldn't see over the top of the slope, I started to slow down. But Jesus is still running now, a little bit ahead of me. And then he looks back, smiling to me, and welcomed me to... As you look back, smiling, you welcome me to follow you, to run with you, to run for you, with your name, Jesus, as the banner for my life. And then Jesus started talking to me. Matthew, every day, my son, I want to run with you. I know what you feel inside. I know you're afraid. Give me your fears, so running uphill and downhill will be the same. Trust me. Trusting and obeying won't be easy. It's impossible, actually. It's impossible to run this race when you're not ready. I want to train you. Every day I want to pour into your life. Every day is an opportunity to draw closer to me, to become one just as the Father and I are one. I want that closeness, Matthew. I desire that closeness with you. Jump into my arms like a child. I will fill you up. Never forget me. Never forget my holy word. The scriptures will fill you up and breathe life into your whole being. Life upon life upon life. I desire you, Matthew, not just to know my word for the sake of knowing it, but you will have many opportunities to speak my life-giving words. Embrace these opportunities. Charge up the slope holding on tight to the sword of the Spirit. My spirit is alive and well. Let my life-giving words consume the very fibers of your being. May your passion for me grow stronger and stronger so my spirit may be flowing. I want to teach you, instruct you how to use your sword. Yes, use it very well, so that when you reach the top of the slope, you will be ready for anything, to attack and defend against the ways of the enemy. Also to reach out with encouraging words of life to my children and your neighbors. Remember to use your sword well and the whole armor. It is good to meet in fellowship with my bride, the body of Christ. But Matthew, never forget this. I long so much. I have been longing for this time alone with you. This intimacy is the best. And then I wrote, it's the best for me too. Matthew, I long to fill what your soul's been craving for. Yes, take the time to sit, to rest in my arms. I will draw closer than you can ever know. This time with me will never be a waste of your time, but quite the opposite. Through these times of quieting yourself in me, you will be able to run and sprint, but not by your power. I will give you new hands and feet to go and serve where I call you to. For when I call, it is the right time for action. I always have perfect timing. I want to give you a new heart so that you may know how my people feel and then can reach out with my love. I also want to transform your heart continually so all of your motives may be pure. Oh, Matthew, as you look up this hillside, you don't know quite what to expect on the other side. I want to show you what's on the other side, and also the hill after that one, and so on and so on. Matthew, come follow me. This meadow I know is nice to your five senses. The knee-high grass is soft to the touch. I know you feel safety where you are right now. Deep down, you too know just being safe won't satisfy. By following me, I don't promise physical safety, but I do promise through every circumstance, joy everlasting, joy unspeakable. The adventure awaits. So that was kind of, what's been going on in my life lately. And so just to wrap up, can I have a couple volunteers come up here? Yeah? Come on, guys. All right, just stand. Right here. Okay, and so basically, just to review these four keys, there's like hand signals and everything. So you guys are going to help me with the hand signals. So the first key is stillness. So we go like this, stillness. You can use both hands. Stillness. And the second key, vision. Focusing our eyes on Jesus. And the third key, spontaneity. A flow of spontaneous thoughts. And the fourth key is journaling. Write these things down. So that's a little introduction to hearing God's voice.